Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. It's going to be a busy day. Actually, the next 2 days are going to be slammed. So much going on here in the Valley and, of course, with the Super Bowl, too. Thanks for being with us. The Suns at 11 a.m., Earl Watson will be introduced as their interim head coach. Eric is down there. Right now over at TPC Scottsdale, this is one of the best events of the week at the golf tournament. It's Dream Day. It's where the Special Olympians are paired up with some of the Valley celebs and dignitaries, business leaders. That's over at TPC Scottsdale. Jordan is over there, Jordy Ham, at that event. And Jared is here today in studio, Jared Cohen. Tomorrow he's going to Tucson to be part of Rich Rod's little get-together on their recruiting class. He's working on all things recruiting. You guys just shot the recruiting roundup. Is there anything in the roundup this week that I mean, it's like there's nothing going on. Is there anything in the roundup?
Just a lot of commitments. There's a lot of commitments all over the place. And Jason touched on it briefly towards the end because I asked him, when you look back at 2016, what are you really going to remember in terms of recruitment? And what I think is really awesome is the opportunities for not just necessarily the Division I, Power 5 conference type guys. It's the other guys that are going Division II, NAIA, that are finding Arizona to be a great recruiting hotbed. And a lot of these kids are going on to Colorado State Pueblo, Adams State, a lot of Hastings College, Benedictine, Briarcliff, like all these smaller schools. And there's a lot of them that are coming to Arizona and snatching them up. So it's really cool how many players. You'll see the list. You can look at it right now on our website of the list of all players going to four-year schools. And a lot of them are at that D2 NAIA level, and it'll give them an excellent opportunity to compete. Adams State is a school that
You're going recruiting. On and on and on here. You are so fired up.
You can't nothing ask about me a Adams question State. About recruiting. So Adams State, here's a story.
No, 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 no. Let me, because our time is short. I'm just curious. Is Connor Murphy going to go to Arizona State or not? That's what I want to know. That's the last big name in this year's class.
Adams State, first off, offered a bunch of kids in Arizona. It's a great story.
Got and it. Right they about have, it. Knock yourself out. You know, Connor Murphy. Then I got
to
get over
no,
the
No, Connor Murphy's not going to Arizona State.
Wow.
That's my prediction.
I have Cartman on here in a few minutes. So are you guys going to disagree? Or
I don't know. If he says he's going to ASU, then we might disagree. Right. I think it's between Oregon, USC, and Michigan.
Wow. That's stunning. All right. So I do have to ask you before I get into the Suns, because Jared is a guy that's lived here all of his life. And we sit around as our team does, and we talk about things. You didn't talk yesterday because you weren't here yesterday, but are you just at the end? Like, I had to be talked off a ledge yesterday.
Yeah.
Off everything.
You run out of excuses, and you run out of glass half full approaches.
I mean, you're a glass half full guy.
But just the mere fact, and I don't care if there's not a trade market value or there's not enough return, just the mere fact that Jeff Hornacek is gone and Markieff Morris is still there. Markieff Morris continues to be, other than Robert Sarver, the longest tenured person in that building. It's not right. It's not right.
It's stunning to me. Just stunning. So
I mean, you knew that he was probably going to be gone, but it's just in the fashion that it's happened, in the sequence of events that have occurred, it's disappointing, to say the least.
All right. You're holding back, but that's okay. Eric is down there. And Eric's not holding back. Eric was really mad yesterday. It's funny. And I know Jared's mad, too. So Peter King's going to be with us from the Super Bowl in about 20 minutes. I don't think we're going to be able to Skype with Peter today, which is fine. He's running around up there. SI.com senior NFL writer. He joins us every week, the Monday morning quarterback, Peter King. That will be coming up here shortly. As mentioned, Chris Cartman in about 10 minutes, SunDevilSource.com publisher. So Arizona State, 2 days before letter of intent day, loses their defensive line coach, which means a lot in LOI. We're going to have a lot of LOI. In fact, we do right now up on our website, sports360az.com. We have a ton of recruiting stuff up there. So if you're looking for content, it is there for you. All right, so I'm going to weigh in here now on the Suns, and I'm going to try to be calmer than I was yesterday. I had some people yesterday that said, I couldn't believe you're borderline out of control. Here's the thing. At least I care. Okay, I care. When I first got to Phoenix, they sold me at a Suns game when I came over here from San Diego for my visit to KTAR. They took me to a Suns game. They sat me down. They said, The lights went out. Barkley was introduced. They were playing. I don't even remember who they were playing, but the lights come up and they said, you'd host this show, you'd host that show, you do this, you do that. And I'm looking around, I'm saying, well, this is a lot better than San Diego, which can't even keep an NBA team, even though that's where I grew up. So, and I was a part of some really cool times in my broadcast career, and at least I care. What I don't like is the excuse making that Jared alluded to. So they hired Earl Watson to be the interim coach. I have no problem with this. They probably could have hired Lombardi a couple of weeks ago, but they fired him. They could have hired Schiestein a couple of weeks ago, but they fired him. So you just go down the list. And actually, from Robert's point of view, I think that this is a smart move, and I'll tell you why. You're not going to get somebody here in mid-season, but if you're the first one to bail out and put the interim guy in there, like Tyronn Lue is the guy in Cleveland. They gave him a long-term contract when they fired David Blatt. So they're not going to make any big move. But what the Suns are saying here in early February is, we have an NBA job in a great city. We have an ownership group that is kind of messed up right now. There's no other way to put it. You know, Robert's making money hand over fist, but the organization at the top on the basketball side is not functional. So let's just throw some names out there that have already been put in the mix, and then I'll throw a name at you that will go to a different level. So Luke Walton's name is already out there. That's easy. That's low-hanging fruit. He went to the U of A. Robert likes the U of A. That's one angle for fans. He did a terrific job in coaching Golden State, but the last time I checked, it's pretty easy to do a great job of coaching when you have Steph Curry and you have Klay Thompson and you have guys that can get Draymond Green. You have a terrific roster. So I don't know if Luke Walton could come into a situation with a bunch of young kids, because they're not going to win big next year in all likelihood. Whoever comes here is inheriting a bad roster for the most part. There's maybe three guys on this roster that I would keep. The rest are not good players. One of the guys that I'm going to be forced to keep is having his third knee operation. And yeah, he's a talented player when he's healthy, but guys, when you have all that money and length of contract tied up in somebody who's already been operated on the knees that many times, that's a problem. I'm talking about Bledsoe. So it's not like I can look at Luke Walton and say, oh my gosh, he'd be great because, well, he's coached the best. And how would he handle getting his head kicked in 8 out of 10 times and all that? Tom Thibodeau is a name that's out there. He's a defensive guy. Didn't work out in Chicago. It was Derrick Rose winning out over the defensive guy in Thibodeau. Thibodeau's a guy that the Suns liked when D'Antoni left. And he was with Boston at the time. Couldn't work out the deal. He goes to Chicago. Mike D'Antoni's name resurfaced yesterday. Of course it did. Mike is sitting there on the bench in Philadelphia, not the main guy. What would it look like for Robert Sarver to bring Mike D'Antoni back here? This, to me, feels like something to fill time on airspace, kind of like what I'm doing right now. Would it be a home run for fans? Steve Nash's name was brought up yesterday by Chris Mannix from SI.com, and Chris is very good at what he does. In fact, I linked his article. It's not often that he's somebody, or if ever, that throws a dart in the air and says this might work. Is the timing right for Steve Nash? Is he not been out of the game long enough? Is a former player, do former players make it as coaches? Some do. I think Jason Kidd has learned on the job. He's in the outpost of Milwaukee now. Tyronn Lue has LeBron James on his side. Rick Carlisle's a former player. I mean, you look around the league at the guys that used to play and now they're coaching, and do they get the job done or do they not get the job done? Let me throw a name at you, though. So every year, people chase John Calipari. Every year they chase him, and every year he says, no, I'm going to stay at Kentucky because that's what I want to do. And every year I look at that and say, he's just waiting for the perfect opportunity where he can run the basketball operations top to bottom. Given how dysfunctional the Suns are at the top of their organization right now, like Ryan McDonough's got to be on thin ice. I don't know what Lon Babby does here. But I know I don't want him as part of my organization. I don't know how tight he is with, he's got to be so tight with Robert, and I don't get it. There's 100 guys that can do what he does and probably do it better. So I need Lon Babby to disappear. And I'm probably at the point with Ryan, and Ryan may end up being, as I said yesterday, and some people agreed, disagreed with me, he may end up being Josh Burns down the road or AJ Hinch down the road. Guys that were given opportunities And yeah, it's over on the baseball side. But some guys are given opportunities too soon and they can learn from it. Or it's just a bad situation. But for Ryan, it's probably getting to that point where it's best if you move on. You can't just use Devin Booker as your resume builder. You can't. So a guy like John Calipari, to run basketball operations, to coach, to immediately send a huge shot of credibility within the Suns family, within the crowd, within the business community, that we're getting our act together. I'm not saying that's the guy that I would go chase. What I'm saying is if we're going to throw names out there, then you better consider all your options. Like, I don't want Mark Jackson here as my next head coach. It's nothing personal against Mark Jackson, but I kind of feel like we're just going through the motions again. And I'm sure he's all over this job. He's got players already lobbying for him. It wouldn't be the worst hire in the world, but I don't think that's going to do much of anything to instill confidence. This has got to be we're changing our basketball operations and we're bringing in somebody that's got a big name. It has to be that. Unless Robert just really doesn't care and wants to go 10 years of having this thing miss the playoffs. And maybe he does. Maybe he is just sitting there saying, gosh, you know what? I'm worth $1 billion now, and I haven't had to do anything really to make this thing grow. So why would I go spend a bunch of money on a coach, a big name coach? It may be that's what he's looking at. I don't know. I can't figure him out. But for people that say, well, just sell the team, that's not happening. So please don't send that. People that compare Robert to the Bidwells, that's not right either. That's not even close to being right. And the last time I checked, the Bidwells have turned into a pretty good organization. Okay, there's going to be people that don't like them from back in the day at ASU. I happen to be one of those that forgive and forget and let's move on. Let's be grown-ups about this. Life's too short to hold a grudge. I didn't have a grudge. Just, yeah, they were a train wreck over at ASU, but maybe they were dealt a bad deck of cards at ASU too, the Cardinals. In this case with Robert, I just want to see this team win because I know what it's like here when they win. It's a bigger deal than when the Cardinals win. It is. Cardinals don't want to hear that, but it's a fact. When the Suns are relevant and big time playing, the whole community is around them because it's the team that started here, didn't move from somewhere else. That's just how it is.
Completely agree. Just want to throw that in there.
Well, you could disagree too if you want.
No, the last part. I wanted to jump in on part of this epic talk that you were just having.
I don't know if it's epic.
It was pretty epic. The fact that I still hold true to the notion that when the Suns are playing well, it's what everyone talks about and everyone does. And it's more so than the Cardinals. I mean, every year in the playoffs during the Nash era, everyone was glued to a television I don't know how many nights a week. The NFL is an event that happens once a week. The Suns play 3-4 nights a week, and even during the regular season, everyone was stopping and asking, what are you doing for the Suns game tonight? Yeah. And it was a random regular season game against the New Jersey Nets.
Nobody cared. Everybody cared.
And
but
getting an opportunity to go to a Suns game during that era was a privilege. It was like, wow, I'm going to the Suns game tonight. No way. I'm so jealous. Where are you sitting? Second to last row, but I'm going to be there. I get to watch Steve Nash play. I get to watch Amari play. You know, that was how everyone felt. And it's so sickening to go to those games now and to see the environment.
You sound so down. And I got to take a break.
Because it is.
I got to take a break.
It's really sad.
I got Peter in San Francisco here in a few minutes and Chris Cartman hanging on. So
let's go to them. I'm just saying it's really sad.
It's fine. It's fine. It's Jared Cohen there. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Letter of intent day is tomorrow for ASU. They lose one of their top defensive coaches. How many coaches have they lost now? And what's some last-minute recruiting tidbits from Chris Cartman from SunDevilSource.com? That's next. Then Peter King live in San Francisco, the Monday morning quarterback. Stay with us. Here now is Chris Cartman, SunDevilSource.com. We are 24 hours away from National Letter of Intent Day. So he is scrambling. I appreciate his time. Tomorrow, the big takeaway from Todd Graham to the media will be what?
Immediate help. They signed the best junior college class in the country. I think universally it's considered to be the case. 7 top 100 recruits. Certainly they need that, especially in the secondary along the offensive line where they lose starters. And in the secondary, they really underperform. So I think that's what he's going to do. The class started strong, didn't really finish strong. Probably they're not going to talk about that.
What is he going to get peppered most about?
Probably about some of these coaching changes and how they affected the recruiting class, especially late. Never seen a cycle, Brad, where ASU's not had a single commit in January. It's probably unprecedented. So certainly there were ramifications of that happening that affected this recruiting class.
Jackie Shipp leaving. What is this? How many? Let me back up. How many coaches have left from Todd's staff from last year now?
There's been five coaches that have left in about 6 months. Bo Graham in August. Then you had Mike Norvell take the Memphis job. He brought Chip Long and Chris Ball to be his offensive and defensive coordinators, respectively. Now you have, of course, Jackie Shipp leaving. So it's more than half of the staff, nine assistants, five have left. Jackie Shipp, my understanding is that he left due to family reasons, predominantly. His mother is aging, and she's relatively close drive for him from Missouri. All of his family is in that part of the country, and he separated or divorced. He doesn't have, you know, kids here. I mean, so I think just where he was at in his life, that was the main reason why he decided to leave.
Is this a blow, Chris, 48 hours when the announcement came out before LOI of Jackie Shipp leaving? Is this a blow to this class?
Normally it would be because you would have more defensive linemen, but ASU doesn't. In this class, they have one junior college defensive end, Christian Hill, and then they have a double backer who actually was coached by Sean Slocum, that position, even though it's a three down linemen. So I don't think it's going to have that much of a factor. Now, they were competing against Missouri for a kid named Trey Williams, who's from Columbia, and he visited 2 weekends ago. So I think he's going to end up with Missouri, which is where he's been committed. Was thinking about switching, but I doubt that happens now.
Talking with Chris Cartman, SunDevilSource.com. Great content there. You can check it out at SunDevilSource.com. Chris, real busy before letter of intent day. The one player that you look at in this class and say, I'm really surprised ASU was able to get him.
Probably Doug Suttle. He's a junior college defensive end. He's a number two rated junior college defensive end in the country. Led California in sacks the last 2 years with 30 total sacks at the junior college level. He's a Haitian immigrant who came with his family. They immigrated to Florida, where he spent his high school years, junior college in Southern California. Florida State offered him late in the last few weeks, trying to pull him away from ASU. And he's really had, he told me, 40 or 41 scholarship offers. This is one of the best pass rushers in the country, and ASU was able to do a good job there at the school, got in early and rode it out. It looks like they're going to be signing him Wednesday.
When you look at the local players, there's no way they flip by tomorrow, because there's been a lot out there of N'Keal Harry and Chase Lucas potentially flipping. None of that, right?
No, I don't see any of that. In fact, I spoke with N'Keal Harry at length just a couple days ago. He reiterated that he'll be signing with ASU. Ohio State, I guess, was kind of trying to make a push late, but it didn't really go anywhere. N'Keal's told me repeatedly a very consistent story about the importance of his grandmother and her being able to see him play. He said, in fact, that he thinks that she would actually leave the country and return to the Caribbean, the small Caribbean island, if he ended up going to a different part of the country to play college football. His respect and appreciation for her is the overriding factor in why he's going to stay with ASU. And I think Chase Lucas also stays with ASU.
So is Todd feeling as though, and I'm sure you haven't talked to him the last few days, or maybe you have, but is Todd feeling as though he is able to plug all of his needs? He'll say that publicly tomorrow, because letter of intent day, as always, we got everybody. We couldn't believe we were there and all that stuff. But really, if you pull the curtain back and peel the onion back, did he get most everybody that he wanted in state?
They obviously missed Byron Murphy. That was a big hit, and especially because they do have immediate needs in the secondary. They did sign two junior college mid-year guys. They're going to help them out in that regard, plus two others, including Chase Lucas, who projects to being a defensive back. But Byron Murphy's huge. Every additional recruit that you're able to get in state helps you leverage subsequent recruits down the road, right? Mm-hmm. So you need that. And Connor Murphy was a guy that they've been trying to recruit, but they haven't been as passionately pursuing. Garrett Rand was a kid that they were on very early. Then he committed to Wisconsin. I don't think ASU's made a huge effort to try to flip him. Of course, it wouldn't turn him down, but I think really Byron Murphy's the main guy that got away. And as a result of that, probably Lamar Jackson, who's one of the top safeties in the West, will end up committing to Nebraska later today. It was a ASU-Nebraska battle for Lamar Jackson. So, I don't think that Byron Murphy was going to be probably an immediate starter, especially mm-hmm. given that they added two JUCO guys to that position group. But certainly he was a very important guy.
There's no Kalen Balazs out there, meaning trapped in a snowstorm, not getting the letter. you know what I mean. There's always that stuff around letter of intent. You don't see anybody.
Well,
There
is Devon Cooper is a wideout from Los Angeles, Narbonne High School. They won a state championship. He's committed to University of Arizona, and his coaches, several of them actually went to Arizona. Well, he visited ASU last weekend and is very conflicted between Arizona and ASU. So there's a good chance that he flips for ASU on signing day. That's kind of one of those storylines that you have in the last day. I think there's a really good chance. In fact, there's a photo of him on social media wearing ASU gear, and he's holding a plastic fork in the air like Forks Up.
Fun stuff. Let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Brad.
There's Chris Cartman there, sundevilsource.com. You can check out their content at sundevilsource.com. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Let's go to San Francisco now. Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, Super Bowl 50 coming up this Sunday, Denver and Carolina. I know you're busy. Time is short, so we'll get right to it. What's your big takeaway 2 days into this week, Peter?
It looks like this is going to be it for Peyton Manning. And if indeed it is, just my opinion, Brad, I think Wade Phillips holds the key to this Super Bowl in his hand. He's done a great job against Roethlisberger with that scheme in that game. And then obviously with Brady last week, basically very rarely blitzing in the game. And if you look at it, I just think that if Wade Phillips has a great game, I think Denver's going to win. If he confounds Cam Newton, Denver's going to win. But the other thing is Peyton Manning's got to not turn it over. He's played two straight games without turning it over after being a relative turnover machine during the season. So I think those are the key things that I look at right now.
Last year was Malcolm Butler. We know about David Tyree. You can go to Rod Martin. I'm sure you can pick many names of guys we never talked about during the week of a Super Bowl, and they come up big. Do you have anybody like that on your radar this week, Peter?
Malik Jackson, defensive lineman for the Broncos. The reason that I like him this week is that he is the kind of physical force that can play Cam Newton and can be I think he's quick enough. I mean, he's big enough and he's quick enough to tackle him in the open field. And I think Malik Jackson has a chance to be. And again, look, Malcolm Butler was an absolute total unknown. Mm-hmm. They weren't even positive during the week that he was going to be active. And Malik Jackson is an impact player on that defense. It's just that everybody's talking Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. Nobody's talking Malik Jackson.
Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback from San Francisco Super Bowl this Sunday. Charles Johnson up and retires. Is this a trend that we're going to see from Borland last year to now? Charles Johnson, were you surprised by this first and foremost?
No, I mean, Calvin Johnson told his team, at least some people inside his team, that he was seriously considering retiring, and it's debatable whether he said flat out, I am retiring. But this has been a bit of a fear inside the Lions for a while. But really, Calvin Johnson in the last 2 years has not been the Calvin Johnson of
Megatron.
Of say 2009 2009 through 2013, let's say, when, in my opinion, he was almost like a Gronk of wide receivers. Yeah, he's been a little beat up. And so, in my opinion, when I look at this, I look at a guy who right now, I understand it. I think this is not a case where a guy's retiring in his prime. And again, I think he could still be very good, but he's not the Calvin Johnson of 3 years ago.
The Hall of Fame, you're going to be in the room this week. Kurt Warner is on the ballot. I had Kurt on earlier. Do you believe he gets in this year?
I think he's got a good chance, but I think this is a very unpredictable year because there's Brett Favre, and then there's about eight or nine guys who are very worthy, like Warner. There's Kevin Green. There's Orlando Pace. There's Joe Jacoby. There's just so many guys right now who are close. My feeling is that I think Warner is deserving. And every year I look at this and I say, boy, there's many more than five guys. Five is the max of those 15 that we consider. There's more than five who I think are worthy. And the bottom line is you only got five spots. Mm-hmm. So will he get in? I'm always a bad predictor on that, Brad. I don't mean to duck the subject, but quite literally I get it wrong all the time. My feeling is coming into this, that Kevin Green is going to be number two after Favre, and then you get into a bit of a logjam, Marvin Harrison, Terrell Owens, you get Orlando Pace, you get Joe Jacoby, you get Kurt Warner. You get a lot of guys who I think are close after that.
Have you made up your mind on your five, or do you go into this saying, because obviously Favre's going in?
No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way because what happens is we go in, we debate it. Mm-hmm. You cut the 15. There's a secret ballot that goes down to 10.
Okay.
And then you take those 10, and then you vote for your best five. So at that point, then it's down to five, and then you either vote yes or no on the five that are there. So in other words, it's not like I go into the meeting and say, okay, here are my five. You know, first you have to vote for 10, and then when the 10 is cut down, then you vote for five of those. And there's been years that one of my favorite people, one of my favorite five, is gone in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
So that could well happen this year, too.
I'm sure you're not surprised by the Johnny Manziel news that the Browns are moving on from him. I think you had this weeks ago, but evidently it's coming out today. What's going to happen with him?
Oh, I think he'll probably go to Dallas unless the Cowboys decide that they want Robert Griffin III, which is possible. And, you know, whatever it is, people say, geez, why would the Cowboys do this? They had a chance to do it once, and they did the smart thing. They passed on him. Well, there's a difference between getting a guy for free and spending a first-round draft choice on him. And I'm sure Jerry Jones is going to look into him. And if he thinks that Johnny Manziel can be rehabbed and whatever his demons are, alcohol or whatever, if he thinks that he has a chance to get him rehabbed, then he'll try to sign him.
Last question, how is Cam Newton handling this week? I said last week I believe there was going to be some backlash towards Cam Newton, much stronger, obviously, because it's Super Bowl week, than what we've seen about how he handles himself on the field. I don't get all wound up about that stuff, but I am seeing it. What about you, and how's he handling himself?
I don't get wound up about it either. He faced the press one time now for an hour last night, and I wasn't present for that. I was with Mike Shula and a couple other people. But, you know, he seemed to do fine. He tried to defuse the whole, any racial element to the game, which I think is smart. This is not a race issue.
Right.
To me, it's an over-exuberance issue. I mean, people aren't down on Cam because he's black. People are down on him because they think he celebrates too much on the field. I'm not. I agree with you. I'm 58 years old. I'm yesterday's news. I'm the past generation. So I try to look at the young generation and say, if this is the way it is, what's so bad about that? I've told this story a few times in the last few days that it's like my father hated the Beatles when they came to America. And my brother said to him, my older brother said, Dad, it's just hair. And that's kind of the way I feel about Cam. It's just a guy smiling and celebrating on the field. Big deal.
Are you going into this writing about Peyton Manning retiring, or are you going into this looking at the game?
I don't know. I mean, I'll see what happens in the game, but I'm going to be around the Broncos as the pool reporter for their team this week, so obviously I'll be watching him. So naturally, I would think that I'd be writing some about Manning, but we'll see what develops.
Stay well. Safe travels. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
Stay well. There's Peter King on short notice. Appreciate his time as always. The Monday morning quarterback, he joins us every week here on the show, even on Super Bowl week. That's good stuff there from Peter. The game itself, I'm trying to embrace. I'm one of those guys that I don't look at a Super Bowl and say, boy, I really hope this team wins. I always want a good game. I always want to come down to the final plays. I don't care about the commercials. I don't care who sings at halftime, but most people do. I know that I'm going to talk about Peyton Manning next Monday, as Peter is probably going to be writing a lot about Peyton Manning, unless somebody like a Malcolm Butler or somebody that we've never heard of comes up, and Peter's got Malik Jackson as his guy. Yeah, I'll probably play a square at the Super Bowl party, because most people do. I'm like most people, but on Super Bowl Sunday, it's not like I wake up and say, and even if the Cardinals were playing, I wouldn't be saying, go Cardinals. I'm just not. That's not what we do. That's not what we're supposed to do. When I saw all the cheerleading by people in my industry in the last month, jumping around on television, supposedly being objective, wearing Cardinal colors and saying, go team and all that stuff, maybe that sells. But I think there's got to be a level of objectivity that says, you know what? If they win, great. If they don't win, there's a story too. There's a story both ways. That's just how I am on this deal. And that's how I've always been. I am worn out with Peyton Manning. I am fatigued by Peyton Manning, but he is a Hall of Fame player. I am fatigued with Cam Newton. I don't like when he celebrates on first downs, but I don't care when he celebrates touchdowns. I mean, that's, I don't, when I see a guy on a second and three in the first quarter with a minute to go, get a first down and jump around and do all of his stuff, it's just like, come on. But when they score a touchdown, sure, knock yourself out. I don't have a problem with that. The game itself, it appears to be a fine matchup. I like all of the lines around how many times Jim Nantz is going to talk about Peyton Manning. I think that's funny. All the bets that are up in Vegas, the prop bets around Peyton Manning are terrific. That's very entertaining. How many times is Phil Simms going to say the word football? Because that's what he does. There's an over-under of 50 that you can bet on that. The betting side of it's great. We'll have Jimmy Vaccaro on with us later in the week. But thanks to Peter King there. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Eric is down at the Suns. And Jared, I was thinking maybe we should track him down because the press conference is at 11. Just see what it's like down there. There was a time where if the Suns did something major, it would stop the world. I'm sure that's not the case now. But I'm curious. I'll check in with Eric and continue on my rant from earlier in the show. Stay with us. So tomorrow's National Letter of Intent Day. The Open starts today. Jordan is out there. Bruce Arians just showed up on the putting green, and Jordy's getting something with Bruce that will be up on our website at sports360az.com. It'll also be on the TV show tonight with Coach Arians, which is on Fox Sports Arizona. That is tonight at 6 and following the Suns game about 10:30, 1 a.m., and then tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., Brad Sussmat Football AZ. That show off Kurt Warner, Peter King, and I think Senator McCain's going to make the cut on that show, too. There's a Suns press conference in about 10 minutes at downtown at the arena. Eric is down there at that, Eric Sorensen. Are they handing out free food? Is this a big celebration? Is this a big party? Or is this just, here's some water and we fired another coach? What's the mood down there?
The mood is, I don't know, neutral, I guess. People are waiting to, like you said, hear Ryan McDonough, who's supposed to speak within the next 10 minutes, big crowd. It's in the usual interview room, and all the camera wells are taken, and most of the seats in the press conference area are filled, and we're still supposedly about 10 minutes before the big announcement, so I'm sure the Suns are happy to have some eyeballs on them. Granted, it would probably not be for the most ideal reasons, but here we are in downtown Phoenix.
Are you going to ask Ryan McDonough, are you going to raise your hand and say, what is your problem? Why can't you figure this out? Are you thinking of that?
No, because someone will ask that. Someone will already ask that.
Do you think that? You really believe
something like that?
You really believe somebody will go after him today?
I would guess when he makes his opening statement, knowing how the Suns usually are very fluid in their PR wisdom, he will probably fall on the sword before someone asks him to fall on the sword.
This is my fault. This is my team. This is my mess. Right? That's what you're thinking?
I can see Ryan McDonough saying that, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that would be interesting. Earl Watson, so he's a former NBA player. He was at UCLA. He's got the interim tag, which means you're not going to be the guy. Sometimes these things do, in a strange twist, though, Eric, you know this, they do end up being the guy because the team responds to them. I can't imagine that he's going to have this for any more than 4 months. He should be renting, not owning, right?
I would think so. Yeah. I would think this would, they're probably presenting this as a way of, here is something you can build your resume on. Here is something that you can show when you are looking for potential other jobs. Hey, I was the head coach of an NBA team for the last 2 or 3 months of the season. But I'd be shocked if any one of the present coaching staff got elevated to the head coach spot.
Yeah. Is Robert going to speak? Do you know? Sarver? Is the owner going to?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure. I would guess no.
No. Yeah, he doesn't speak.
He's been pretty behind the scenes recently. But, again, we're supposed to hear from Ryan McDonough and potentially Earl Watson, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, have fun down there. It sounds like just a thrilling day because there's not much they can say other than they have Toronto tonight, and they're going to do the best that they can do with the roster that they have. And it would be nice if somebody asked Ryan, so Markieff Morris, what is this all about? But I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
I know it's not.
Or maybe they'll ask, Ryan, can you name the date of your last road win?
Wow. That's a rough one. That's a rough one. Okay. Huh. See you later.
Lost 14 position. Straight. So.
See ya. So Eric's down there today. Eric could have sat here with me or taken the Suns and the hazard pay, and he took the hazard pay job, which says a lot about what he feels like sitting here with me when I do a show. But that's okay. It's fine. You know, the names that are going to come up, let's go back on Steve Nash. So Chris Mannix yesterday was the first one to float that out there, and I know that Robert and Steve Nash are partners now, Robert Sarver and Steve Nash. They own a soccer team overseas. That doesn't mean that Steve is ready to go partner up with Robert. Last time I checked, he was a special consultant with the Golden State Warriors, so he wasn't here. In fact, they had to do the Steve Nash night the first week of the season, which was crazy to me, the Ring of Honor stuff. But Steve Nash is a head coach. You just don't know if it's going to work out. You can go all the way back to Danny Ainge when Danny Ainge left as a player and became a coach. I was hosting his show at the time. I remember one night he called in. He was in Milwaukee. And his sons were in high school, and they were playing at a local high school out in Gilbert. And he said, hey, how's Highland doing? And I had somebody out there, so I told him. And the Suns were kind of just slugging along. They weren't playing well. And you could just hear it in his voice, like, what am I doing? I'm in Milwaukee. It's snowing. It's cold. I'm missing my kids. And he wasn't a head coach for very long, if you look at it. And he's done well as a general manager. I think Boston has one of the better young rosters. They've done some very smart moves. They've made some very smart moves. And they have a talented roster, a deep roster. They're close. They're not with Cleveland yet, but I think Danny's got them in the right direction. So that's just one example of a guy that decided to coach. Magic Johnson decided he wanted to coach, couldn't coach. Michael Jordan, you go through the ownership side with Michael Jordan. That has not worked out. So while these guys are great in the day, in the moment, as players, it doesn't mean that they can get it done as a coach. Dan Majerle has been terrific as a head coach. He had to leave his comfort zone to be an assistant with the Suns. If anything, I think when it's all said and done with Dan, and Dan going back to the Suns, I know that's one that came up yesterday from a lot of people. And yeah, you can mend fences. I mean, we've seen it happen here. Luis Gonzalez and the Diamondbacks were not best of friends the way things ended with them. And then they came back together and now they're fine. Time does heal wounds. But I can't see Dan going back to Robert if Robert were to chase him and say, why don't you come home? Because that would be the move that would make the most sense. If we're looking at just what's gone on here, Dan's already been an assistant. He put in his time. He's gone and been a head coach at the college level. He enjoys being around kids. He has kids himself. He's done a great job. I could make a very strong case for Dan Majerle before I would Steve Nash. And I think Dan is a very good X and O guy. Some people don't agree with me. It's fine. The Tom Thibodeaux and the Mark Jacksons and the guys that have been around the league, I don't want to see a recycled guy. I really don't. I don't want to see somebody that, you know, Mark Jackson had a lot of talent up at Golden State. They punched his ticket. They brought in Steve and they went a much further. The roster here, whoever comes here, they're not going to have much. They're just not. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now at sports360AZ.com. Where Arizona centric. High school, college, pro college, high school. Makes no difference to me. We are the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart known as sports media. And we do our thing day in and day out. We're digital, digital, digital. It is all right here. This is where everything is going. And that's where we are. Thanks for being with us.